Angie.com. Click on Angie Austin Daybreak USA. And, you know, I have to tell you, I have never been so happy to endorse a product because this works for me. And my favorite product is, again, the flagship cell therapy treatment by Ovation. If you can only try one product, try that one because it works for me and I know it'll work for you. OvationHair.com. Click on Angie Austin Daybreak USA for that introductory discount. OvationHair.com.
There's a report that the White House is finding less money than expected to build the southern border wall it's promised. Reuters is reporting Homeland Security officials have identified only about $20 million in funds they can put towards it, but it's going to cost $20 billion. The White House has said it would get construction begun with existing funds and resources.
Just had an explosion.
That's a 911 call reporting Tuesday's small plane crash into a condo building in Methuen, Massachusetts.
We're very interested in what witnesses have to say.
National Transportation Safety Board spokesman Aaron McCarter saying they need some help from the public to figure out what caused the crash of that experimental plane.
We welcome any photographs or video.
That crash killed the plane's pilot. On the other side of the nation, a similar call from federal investigators for witnesses of a Monday plane crash into a residential neighborhood that killed three people.
To please submit statements or reach out to us.
USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today. The daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Things have cleared for Amazon's cloud service again. Amazon Web Services experiencing a major outage of its S3 storage cloud for the East Coast earlier today. Amazon now says the service is operating normally again. A man accused of killing a cop in Whittier, California, is due in court a little bit later today, as Jason Campidonia tells us.
The known gang member with tattoos across his face and neck is facing charges for allegedly shooting two cops, leaving a 27-year veteran of the force dead in the street. The Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office has yet to decide whether to seek the death penalty against the 26-year-old. The man is also accused of killing his cousin just hours before the confrontation with police. A public memorial for the murdered cop will happen tomorrow in Downey.
It could have been worse for the two who made the big mistake on Oscar night last Sunday. Here's Tom Roberts.
The Academy says PricewaterhouseCoopers accountants Brian Cullinan and Martha Ruiz will keep their jobs at the firm, but they've been booted from the Oscars team. Cullinan is the one being blamed for mistakenly handing a backup Best Actress envelope to Best Picture presenters Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty. Dunaway announced La La Land as the Best Picture winner when the actual winner was Moonlight.
And reports are the bosses were already angry at Cullinan for spending a lot of time tweeting backstage just before that accident happened. And the Labor Department says weekly jobless claims fell by 19,000 last week. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll be talking about illegal interview questions you may be asking and how to avoid them. I'll have 6 easy steps to grow your business with referrals, why you shouldn't be afraid of e-commerce, and 4 reasons you should be using business credit cards. It's Thursday, March 2nd, 2017, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I'll be taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I'll be taking care of business. It's all mine, taking care of business and working overtime will help.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and the program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we do that, we always get started with the weather, and currently it's 44 degrees at 12:06. And the forecast shows that today will be partly sunny, very windy, with a high of 49 degrees and a low of 23. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly cloudy with snow showers, a high of 42 and a low of 15. Get ready, because on Saturday it's going to get much colder with mostly sunny skies, breezy conditions, a high of only 36 and a low of 8. And for Sunday, it'll be mostly sunny, not as cold, with a high of 43 and a low of 27.
And we've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. We've been taking care of business, it's all right, taking care of business and working overtime.
And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is down 42.87 to 21,072.68. The NASDAQ down 28.20 to 5875.83. S&P 500 is down 9.98 to 2385.09. Oil down 89 cents to $52.94 per barrel. And gold down $12.60 to $1,237.40 an ounce. Facebook viewers, you are now up to date. Now you can listen to the rest of the show at www.huntertonchamberradio.com. All right, well, we are back, and as mentioned, this is Taking Care of Business, so you have found the right place. Congratulations. A lot going on the show today, and definitely want to get into that as well. I think the biggest topic that I'll be talking about today, story I came across, which was the very common, yet illegal questions that you may be asking on an interview, and they seem innocent enough, but if you are caught doing them, you can be setting yourself up for a whole world of hurt legally. So we'll get into that in just a minute. Did want to mention that last week on Friday, I was able to attend the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce dinner and dance, the annual meeting dinner dance, and had a great time. I sat with our incoming board chairman, Michelle Heidi, and we talked about a lot of different things that are going on in the chamber and some of her plans for them. So I'm really looking forward to the direction that the chamber is going. And, of course, all of our activities at the chamber are designed with you, the small business owner of Hunterdon County, in mind. And the new tagline, "We are the voice of business," I think will definitely ring true over the next several months. So hopefully you'll be able to participate in many activities that are happening here at the chamber and get involved. And that's the one thing that I think where a lot of businesses miss the mark is getting involved and being a part of the solution rather than just sitting on the sidelines and being part of the problem. But let your voice be heard so that those who are going to work on your behalf can know exactly where you stand. Big doings in the Gano household this week. As on Tuesday, Monday night, I went out to dinner with about 30 people at a restaurant up in Florham Park, and that was to honor my wife and 2 other people who are retiring. They took an early voluntary separation agreement from the company, and after 33 years, my wife is now sitting at home having no idea what to do with herself. So Tuesday was her last day. So interesting change in our household, as now instead of being the first one up, she's just kind of rolling over when I get up to take a shower. So very interesting dynamic. And so she's going to take a couple months off and then head back into the workforce probably in about 6 months. And then Tuesday night, we also had the presidential address to a joint session of Congress. Here's a couple of highlights of what President Trump had to say during his speech that I thought we could review here.
The President of the United States.
While we may be a nation divided on policies, we are a country that stands united in condemning hate and evil. I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength, and it is a message deeply delivered from my heart. A new national pride is sweeping across our nation, and a new surge of optimism is placing impossible dreams firmly within our grasp. We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism. So I am calling on all Democrats and Republicans in Congress to work with us to save Americans from this imploding Obamacare disaster. We will soon begin the construction of a great, great wall along our southern border. Ryan died as he lived, a warrior and a hero, battling against terrorism and securing our nation. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless the United States.
So there's a highlight, about a minute and a half highlight of some of the sound bites from President Trump's speech this past week. And I thought that it was very well delivered. A lot of people are talking about the new tone that he used that evening, the tone and the tenor of the speech. Very well written, very well delivered. Some of the programs that he talks about with repealing and replacing Obamacare, with paying for the wall, $1 trillion in infrastructure improvements, that has yet to be determined how that will be paid for. And you heard a little bit about that in the news brief where the Immigration Service has said they can come up with about $20 million, but the cost of the wall could be closer to $20 billion. So, again, there's going to have to be cuts made in certain programs, more spending in others. He's talking about a $54 billion additional investment in the military. So there's an awful lot that has to happen in order to make some of these ideas and programs work. One of the things that was unique that Chuck Todd pointed out from NBC News is that since the election day, since it was confirmed that Trump would be the president of the United States, the stock market has risen 15% in just those 4 months. From Election Day to today, we're just at about the four-month mark, and in just 4 months, the stock market has risen 15%. A lot of people saying that people are excited about the fact that Donald Trump is promising to reduce regulations, saying that for every one regulation that is enacted, two have to come off the books or be revised. Talking about some of his tough stance on trade, tariffs, taxes, etc., for products coming into the company into the country. He mentioned, I believe it was with one country where Harley Davidson, in his speech, he mentioned that the folks at Harley Davidson said that it was hard to expand their business internationally because in one country, their bikes are taxed at 100%. So if you have a $25,000 motorcycle, you're going to pay a $25,000 tariff or tax. Doesn't make any sense to do business. But people are excited that a businessman is now running the country, and will that bode well for businesses? So again, there's talk of changing the corporate business tax levels. So if this is able to happen, and if other programs are not seriously hurt by it, then I think it will be good for the country. And even on the Democratic side, didn't hear a lot of complaints about the speech. I think he, with his tone and his tenor and how he did the development of that speech, I don't think, I think a lot of people were taken off guard. But I was like 20 minutes into the speech waiting for him to kind of go off script, and it just didn't happen. And so now we have to see what's going to happen. He's about, where are we at, 37, 38 days into the presidency, and I think we're getting to the point where now people are starting to come to grips with the fact that, yes, this is their president, and there will still be protests. We're not going to eliminate them, but I think that people are, in general, getting used to the fact that this is the president, and we have to see what's going to happen. So we'll take it from there. So I think that now, when he called for unity, I think that now it's the time for people to do a deep gut check. And if some of these programs are worth evaluating and moving forward with, then maybe that should happen. All right. The key story that I want to get to today on Taking Care of Business is common illegal interview questions. Not common interview questions, illegal interview questions and ways to avoid them. We're going to do that after we come back from the break. First, we have a few messages. When we come back, we'll talk about illegal interview questions you may be asking and how to avoid them. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. My name is Jim Gano, and I'm your host for about the next 45 minutes. So the topic at hand, the topic of the day that can really get some people in trouble are asking questions during an interview that can be deemed illegal. Now, according to employment law, asking candidates questions unrelated to the open position is illegal. And this means that any question concerning things such as age, family, gender, marriage, nationality, and religion are all out of the question. Now, some questions may seem harmless or conversational, and yet million-dollar lawsuits against companies have been filed and won by applicants because of the subject matter of the questions. Knowing what's safe to ask could mean the difference between keeping your company on solid legal footing or opening up your organization to potential liability. Now, there are some legal and professional guidelines that you should be aware of, and these should guide your behavior during the interview process. So there's equal employment opportunity. Now, EEO, or equal employment opportunity, refers to the right of all people to work and advance on the basis of merit, ability, and potential. Now, in the 1960s, federal and state laws made it illegal to discriminate on the basis of political affiliation, race, religion, gender, age, disability, sexual orientation, or national origin and ancestry. As a result of these laws, employers need to avoid asking questions to these characteristics during the interview process. There's also Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. Now, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act states that it is illegal to ask discriminatory questions during the interview process about the applicant's gender, race, age, national origin, religion, or other non-job-related basis. There is the Age Discrimination Employment Act, the ADEA, which was passed in 1967, and this act prohibits employment discrimination against individuals aged 40 through 69. This includes a failure to hire, discharge, denial of employment, and discrimination with respect to the protected age. The Americans with Disabilities Act, or more commonly known as the ADA, protects qualified individuals with disabilities from discrimination in the workplace. This act prohibits employers from asking questions about a candidate's physical or mental condition during an interview or an application. And then job relatedness. To ensure fairness and equality to any candidate, interviewers need to have a list of job-related interview questions which are asked consistently for all applicants for the same position. If the question is not related to on-the-job performance, it should not be asked. The employer must demonstrate a job-related necessity for asking any question. If not, you leave open the possibility that the EEOC could scrutinize your hiring processes to see if discrimination has occurred. So what are the questions that you shouldn't ask, and how are there ways to obtain the information that you're looking for? In order to avoid legal trouble, I'm going to give you a couple of commonly asked illegal interview questions that you should never ask during interviews, as well as ways that you can still get the same information that you wanted in the first place. So if the topic is, let's say, attendance and scheduling, you can't ask, how many children do you have? What religion are you? Do you have preschool children? Or do you have a car? Instead, you can ask, what hours and days can you work? Do you have responsibilities other than work that will interfere with specific job requirements, such as traveling? On the question of citizenship and nationality, you can't ask, what is your national origin? Where are your parents from? What is your maiden name? Instead, you could try, are you legally eligible for employment in the United States? Or have you ever worked under a different name? With regards to criminal history, arrests, and conviction, you can't ask, have you ever been arrested? Instead, you can ask, in the last 10 years, have you ever been convicted of a crime? If so, when, where, and what was the disposition of the case? And then with regards to disabilities, you can't ask, do you have any job disabilities? Instead, you can ask, based on the job description we've given you, can you perform the duties of the job that you're applying for? And if they say, well, I have a bad back, I can't lift, or something like that, at least you'll know. A lot of times with certain positions, now companies are doing credit background checks. You can't ask, do you own your home? Have your wages ever been garnished? Have you ever declared bankruptcy? Instead, with regards to owning your own home, there's really nothing you can do. Credit references may be used if in compliance with the Fair Credit Reporting Act of 1970 and the Consumer Credit Reporting Reform Act of 1996. With regards to the military, you can't ask, what type of discharge did you receive? Instead, you can ask, what type of education, training, or work experience did you receive in the military? At that point, the person will usually expand on the rank and what special skills they may have achieved. With regards to language, you can't ask, what is your native language, or how did you learn your language skills? You can instead ask, can you explain your written and language fluency if the job requires a different languages, say, an English-speaking person talking Spanish, or if you have a Spanish candidate, how have they mastered the English language? With regards to any organizations or memberships, you can't ask, what are the names of any clubs or societies to which you belong? Instead, you can say, can you tell me about the organizations which you consider relevant to the ability to perform the job? Now, the next four are questions that should never be asked, and there's really no instead of try asking option. With regards to workers' compensation, have you ever filed for workers' compensation? Have you ever had any prior work injuries? There's simply nothing that you should ask and nothing that can be construed to try to help you gain that information. With regards to religion or creed, what is your religious denomination, affiliation, church, parish, pastor, or religious holidays observed? With regards to gender, do you wish to be addressed as Mr., Mrs., Miss, or Ms.? And address, what was your previous address? How long did you reside there? How long have you lived at your current address? Do you own your home? None of those, with regards to workers' comp, religion, creed, gender, or address, have any suitable alternate questions to be asked. On the subject of education, You can't ask, when did you graduate from high school or college? But you can ask, do you have a high school diploma or equivalent? And on the subject of emergency contacts, what is the name and address of a person to be notified in case of an emergency? Note, only request after the individual has been hired. You don't want to go out there and just start asking these types of questions without a true, you know, need or basis of asking. So just a couple of different things. And a lot of times interviews become very conversational. And now, particularly in, say, the pharmaceutical industry, where you're doing what they call team interviews, where a candidate will come in and meet with several people on the team, it tends to get a little conversational, both on the candidate side and also on the employer side. And what you don't want to do is get it so relaxed that you let your guard down. And this is something that human resources managers need to be aware of, and your hiring managers also need to be made aware of, so that there's no law breaking or doing anything that could be construed as illegal. So hopefully those tips will help you and help your company and avoid you getting into unnecessary legal trouble. But there have been many times when people have been asked these questions. They can prove they've been asked that question, and as a result, they sue, figuring that it's going to be a condition of their employment, and that's why they didn't get the job. Our next topic is about financing. I'm getting a lot of questions lately from listeners about how can I get financing for my business. And sometimes something like a simple small loan can help pay off for your company big time. Things like microloans can be a valuable tool to start or grow your small business, and they may come with support and other perks to help you succeed. Now, while having access to unlimited funds to start or grow your business would be nice, sometimes a small amount of funding can be just as valuable, and that's where microloans, small loans ranging from a few hundred dollars to $50,000 or more, come in. Now, microloans can help you start and grow a business, said Stephen R. Cohen, who's the president of Excelsior Growth Fund, a CDFI and small business lender in New York State. They can help take a hobby and commercialize it. And they can also be useful in helping newer growing businesses to get the working capital they need. Newer businesses may be relying on personal credit to finance their business because they haven't established a business credit score yet. Not all microloans require a business credit score, but some do. So it's important to check your scores to see where you stand before you start comparing microloan options. Now you can check your personal and business credit scores for free at NAV, N-A-V. But what microloans are available? As with any type of financing, microloans come in many different flavors from a variety of potential lenders. The Small Business Administration microloan program offers loans for up to $50,000 through participating lenders. The SBA says the average loan size is $13,000 under this program. But the SBA microloan program isn't the only game in town. Banks may offer microloans outside the SBA program, though they often focus primarily on established businesses with solid financial track records. More commonly, borrowers looking for these loans may turn to community development and financial institutions, which are organizations dedicated to helping underserved entrepreneurs. They are certified through the Department of Treasury and may include credit unions, community development banks or corporations, community development and venture capital funds, among others. And these organizations are often mission-based and may target certain types of entrepreneurs in a geographic area, whether that's minority business owners, immigrants, women, or others who find it difficult to get financing through traditional means. Responsible providers of microloans and other neighborhood community organizations can be a good strategy for acquiring the capital you need, said Cohen. Indeed, Excelsior Growth Fund often refinances debt business owners have received from high-cost non-bank lenders, Cohen says. Other microlenders lend to startups, something traditional lenders often shy away from. It's more than a loan. A distinguishing feature of a microloan is that they often come with a perk known as technical assistance, because the organizations that offer these loans are committed to helping the small business owner, and they want to see them succeed. They often provide help or training with networking, bookkeeping, marketing, and more. Technical assistance can sometimes be just as valuable as the loan itself. But what does it take? Another hallmark of these loans is that they are often more flexible in terms of what they require to qualify. A lot of microlenders will have more flexibility underwriting requirements and lower credit requirements than a traditional bank, said Cohen. At Excelsior Growth Fund, a personal credit score of 640 is required, but that's not the only thing they look for, and they will make exceptions. Some microlenders, like Kiva, don't have minimum credit score requirements and instead do what Cohen refers to as character-based lending, which looks at other factors to evaluate loan applicants. In Kiva's case, for example, an entrepreneur can get a trustee to endorse them or generate support from their community before raising funds on a crowdfunding platform. Now, how do you get started with microloans? If the idea of a microloan is intriguing, here's a few ways to begin the process. First, review your personal and small business credit scores. Not all microlenders review credit, but many do, so you want to make sure that you know where you stand before you apply. Two, gather up your business bank statements. Some lenders will want to review the cash management of your business, Cohen said. Others may want to see projections for how the loan will help the business and how it will be repaid. And then finally, research your microloan options. Your local Small Business Development Center, your SBDC, can help you find local lenders. And you can also review the SBA's directory of microlenders. Axion is another microlender with offices around the country. You can also look into national lenders like Kiva and Grameen America. But keep in mind that each lender will have its own criteria. So just because one says no, that doesn't mean every lender will. Make sure you thoroughly explore your options so that you can hopefully find one that is the right fit. So again, as far as financing is concerned, short-term working capital, it might be worth a look at what they call microloans. We're going to step away for a quick news break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about if it's ever a good idea to mix both business and politics. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
At the very least, he should recuse himself.
That's U.S. House Democrat Elijah Cummings reacting to news that Attorney General Jeff Sessions reportedly had contact with Russia's ambassador to the U.S. but did not disclose it during his confirmation hearings. Here's more from correspondent Tom Roberts.
The Washington Post cites Justice Department officials saying that one of the meetings took place in then-Senator Sessions' office in September. Sessions also reportedly spoke with the Russian ambassador in July. At the time, Sessions was one of Trump's foreign policy advisors.
The U.S. Senate's easily confirmed former U.S. Congressman from Montana, Ryan Zinke, as the new U.S. Interior Secretary. Montana Republican Senator Steve Daine says he's the right man for the job.
He will finally restore balance to the use and management of federal land.
This is USA Radio News.
From Lionsgate Entertainment comes The Shack, based on the New York Times best-selling novel. After receiving a mysterious invitation, Mac Phillips returns to the scene of an unthinkable tragedy. There, he encounters a trio of strangers.
Why did you bring me here?
The pain is devouring you.
They will take him on a powerful journey that will change his life forever. The Shack, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13, in theaters tonight. More information is available at cometotheshack.com.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
You know what that means when you start hearing that guitar solo. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. And the weather for today, it's going to be partly sunny, very windy, with a high of 49 degrees and a low of 23. For tomorrow, we can expect mostly cloudy skies with snow showers in the morning, a high of 42 and a low of 15. Very little accumulation expected. For Saturday, we'll have mostly sunny skies and breezy conditions with a high of 36 degrees and a low of just 8 degrees. And for Sunday, it'll be mostly sunny, not as cold, with a high of 43 degrees and a low of 27. So it doesn't look like Dolly's coming out of the garage this weekend, but have been enjoying the warm temperatures over the last couple of weeks. And I guess winter isn't ready to say goodbye just yet, but anytime she's ready, have at it. Well, the question before us now is, and especially with obviously what's happening in Washington, D.C., is it ever a good idea to mix business and politics? This is an issue that when I consult with people, I often tell them, keep your opinions to yourself. Now, in my business, we do a lot with sports. So obviously people are passionate about sports. And if I want to sit here and tell everybody that I'm an Eagles fan and a person walks in with a Giants sweatshirt, does it matter? No, it really doesn't. Whether you're a Trump fan or a Hillary fan or a Gary Johnson fan, again, it doesn't really matter. But when you put yourself out there and you let your politics do the talking, you run the risk that you could really be alienating some of your customer base to the point where they don't want to do business with you anymore. Small business owners risk alienating customers or being targeted by boycotts when they share their political views in today's polarized climate. Now, it can be hard for the self-employed to separate their personal interests from their businesses. You're passionate about what you do, and it's what makes you good at it, and your work is a big part of your life. But as a number of big companies have learned, it's all too easy to alienate customers in today's polarized climate. When Starbucks announced it would hire 10,000 refugees worldwide in response to President Trump's executive order barring refugees from several countries, the coffee giant was swiftly greeted with calls for a boycott. Nordstrom was criticized by the president when the department store dropped his daughter's fashion line, while Wegmans grocery store has been hailed for resisting demands to stop selling Trump wine. The list goes on. Budweiser, Macy's, Nike, Coke, and Pepsi have all been the targets of consumer boycotts from both sides of the aisle for taking political stances, both real and perceived. Last year, during the heated presidential campaign, a Manta poll found that 34% of small business owners make their political views known to customers and their employees. And of those who share their views, 65% said they do so to promote positive values in their communities, and 64% said they want their business to reflect their values. The challenge comes when those personal values aren't shared by your customers. We should take pride in our morals and values, but small business owners need to remember that their brand is at stake, and brands should always try to remain as neutral as possible, said Brandon Seymour, who's the founder of a Florida-based marketing agency, Baymore Consulting. My best advice would be to avoid having these sorts of discussions at all costs. Not only do you risk alienating your customers, but you also risk shutting out your employees who may have different views than you do. I'm a firm believer that personal politics should not be mixed with business, agreed AJ Salim, who's the owner of Suprex Tutors in Houston. If customers want to bring up political topics, it is best to change the subject. Find something that is unrelated to that particular topic instead. Nothing good comes out of talking about politics. Discussing politics on social media can be especially problematic, added Melissa Ward, who's a managing partner of the New York-based digital agency New Ward Development, because it gets in the way of your real goal, which is marketing your business. It's not a question of whether you'll be boycotted, but rather knowing the reason that you're on social media, she said. If you use Facebook for business marketing purposes, commenting on the latest political fray is not a relevant part of the conversation. Some business owners may choose to express their beliefs with the intention of appealing to customers who feel strongly about an issue, and that can be an effective form of cause marketing, but business owners should be aware of the risks of limiting their potential audience to those only who agree with them. Now, who am I as a person plays hugely into my business and how I interact with clients. At this point in time, politics are also personal, said Maggie Germano, who's the CEO and founder of Maggie Germano Financial Coaching. I want to attract clients who share my feminist beliefs as well as my beliefs will influence how I work with them. So far, my clients and followers have appreciated my political opinions. Business owners can also act on their values and personal beliefs without being overtly political. Eva Spitzer, who's the owner and designer of sock brand Peony and Moss in Seattle, dodges polarizing conversations even on topics that she agrees with, but still can support causes she cares about. We give away a pair of socks to someone in need for every pair sold, she said. There's been a lot of hate spreading in the world recently, and that's our way to spread love. Our customers can interpret that any way they want. So on this particular topic and many others, I'd like to get your thoughts. Are you the type of person that, you know, because you're a Republican or because you're a Democrat, anybody in your that comes into your business is going to know exactly where you stand? I've seen some business owners get into very heated exchanges on Facebook. I've seen them get defriended on Facebook. I've seen them been told to do things to themselves anatomically, which is physically impossible. But still, you know, people get so passionate about it. And you have to remember that you have a responsibility to your employees, to your vendors, to, if you're like me in a franchise system, to the franchise as a whole. Are you willing to risk all of that just so that people know where you stand? Or is it better, as the story mentioned, to stay neutral and just, you know, let's just, you know, conduct business without having to get into all of that? Plenty of time after hours for you to vent on a personal page, not on your business page, who you would vote for, the policies that you support. But certainly I wouldn't do it on a business page, that's for sure. All right. I've been training, as you know, I've been training this gentleman named James from Long Island in my store how to run a Crown Trophy franchise. And he is very eager to get started and wants to know what's the best way to find new customers. And I have said for years on this program that as Earl Nightingale said back in 1965, the best form of advertising is a good customer with a big mouth. Conversely, the worst form of advertising is a good or a bad customer with a big mouth. So there are six easy steps to grow your business with the use of referrals. And in the age of digital marketing, customer referrals remain the strongest way to generate leads and sales for your small business. But do you have enough customers? Well, here's a better question. Do you have enough of the right kind of customers? Do you agonize over the marketing plan that you've designed? What's the right message, the platform, and the frequency? And then, do you pray that the precious cash you've committed to marketing crosses over that pivotal line from expense to investment? Agony and prayer. Not a great strategy, right? Well, if this sounds familiar, you're in good company, because marketing legend John Wanamaker once lamented, "Half of my advertising budget is wasted. I just don't know which half." It's true that marketing metrics have come a long way since Wanamaker's time, but this emerging science has been somewhat marginalized by increasing pressure from the digital marketplace. Indeed, getting customers to sign on the proverbial dotted line is still challenging in the 21st century, especially for small business owners. Beyond marketing, perhaps the primary reason for our customer acquisition challenge can be attributed to a human trait that's at once primordial and unfortunate. We make things harder than they have to be. There are many examples, but arguably one of the most dramatic is also one of the simplest to fix: failure to ask for referrals. Business referrals have always been there for the picking, and they're as old school fundamental as they are new school relevant. So why don't more people take advantage of this low-hanging fruit? It's that can't get out of my own way thing. Too many salespeople and organizations don't have a referral strategy or teach referral practices. Even though getting referrals is fall off a log easy, there are specific practices to follow. Now, here are six that I recommend to help you get started with your strategy. First, spend as much time developing a referral strategy as you do a marketing strategy. When you do, two things will happen very quickly. You'll gain new customers you weren't getting from your marketing, which will take performance pressure off of your marketing plan. Second, identify existing customers who like what you do. Each one is that valuable asset called a center of influence, a COI. Explain in person that you need their help and how they can help you. For example, "Mr. Smith, thank you for your business over the years. We'd like to have more customers like you. I'm sure you ask your customers for referrals and would like to ask if I may do the same with you." Ivan Misner, who's the founder of the Business Network International, BNI, furnishes these critical questions. Who do you know who has your high standards? Who uses the products we offer? Who would you like to help do business with good companies like ours? Fifth, when you get a referral, thank the center of influence, that COI, profusely before, during, and after the subsequent contact, especially if you get the business. Now, one thing I've always said to my COIs is if a referral is a friend or customer before I contact them, I promise they will still be after I talk with them. Now, for millennials, business referrers have been paying it forward. As Meisner said, givers gain. The best way to have a sustainable referral strategy is to be an active referrer yourself. It's much easier to ask someone for a referral to whom you've just given a referral. If you're still not sold on referrals, just look around and you'll see many successful businesses that grow only by referrals with essentially no marketing. There's one primal reason why referrals can be more productive than marketing. People are hardwired to want to help other people when they are asked. Get out of your own way and make a full commitment to creating and executing a referral strategy. Referrals are low-hanging fruit, just waiting for you to harvest. When we come back, we're going to talk about how a picture in your marketing can be worth 1,000 clicks. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I just read a story about how you need to keep your politics out of your business. And I think one of the great examples of that is the protest that was waged last season in the NFL by Colin Kaepernick, who is the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. An alert just came across from USA Today that Colin Kaepernick is going to end his national anthem protest during the 2017 season. Kaepernick, who was expected to opt out of his contract with the 49ers, either sat or kneeled while the Star Spangled Banner was played before Niners games last season, a protest meant to draw attention to racial inequality and police brutality. He will discontinue these public protests in 2017 wherever he plays next season, a person with knowledge of Kaepernick's plans told USA Today Sports' Tom Pelissero. The person requested anonymity because Kaepernick has not made his decision public yet. Kaepernick's refusal to stand during the anthem was adopted by several other NFL players and athletes in other professional sports leagues. It led some to boycott the NFL, which potentially contributed to the league's 8% decline in ratings last year. Kaepernick said last September that he received death threats in the days after he began his protest in the preseason. ESPN was the first to report that Kaepernick would end his national anthem boycott. So, again, how it hurts a brand, I think there's no better example than Colin Kaepernick from last season. Didn't play much. When he did, didn't play well. And now all of a sudden, as he's starting to look for a new team, he's saying, hey, I'm not going to bring all this drama with me. I know I've had stories on the program before about how when you're doing marketing, like email marketing, if you're sending out, whether it's going out mass mailing or just email to an individual, how the use of videos or photos can help enhance the chance that you're going to have somebody open that message. Now, so when is a picture worth, quote, 1,000 clicks? Now, these free and low-cost tools will help you create eye-catching images for your blog, your social media accounts, and newsletters. On social media, a striking image can mean the difference between a potential customer learning about your services and that person just passing you by. But there is good news. Great images are easily, seriously, to find, edit, and make your own. So take it from these pros. How about DIY design? Canva combines an image catalog, photo filters, and editing, graphic elements, fonts, and templates. You harness these simple tools to make polished and professional visuals like social media graphics, Pinterest posts, and Facebook headers. How about free images? Now, if you need free or low-cost photos to punch up your newsletters and blog posts, there are plenty of sources that you can use. There's no secret formula to crafting the perfect image to post, but there are definitely some tools that can make a huge difference, said Lindsay Kent, who's a social media specialist at Entreport. She recommends New Old Stock, Splitshire, and 1 Million Free Pictures as great sources for imagery. You can also use images from the Creative Commons on your blog. Just be sure to follow the attribution guidelines. And there's an app for that, of course. Veteran copywriter Deborah Jason likes the power of iPhone app WordSwag. Use the app to search for an image, and it'll tap into the Pixabay catalog. Or you can use an image from your own photo library. After you select the image you like, you can customize it with text and even your own logo all in one app. And, of course, call on customers. Customer photos are a fantastic source of compelling and original content, with the added benefit that using it will make your customer feel valued, said Justin Nasiri, who's the founder and chief storyteller at Storybox Incorporated in Denver. Talk to customers individually or leverage your social network by asking customers to post to your Instagram or Twitter accounts using a hashtag of your choosing. So great ideas on where to find photos and how to enhance your email marketing or social media campaigns. A lot of talk, a lot of arguing going on back and forth about e-commerce and whether or not it's for you and your business. Now, sometimes you have to just join the boat, you know, if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing. Are you losing business because you don't have an e-commerce vehicle on your website? Now, like it or not, we are solidly in the age of social media and web-based commerce, and we can sit around and pine for the days of old when you just opened up a brick-and-mortar shop and customers would file through the door one after another waiting to purchase your wares. Okay, it obviously wasn't that easy, but sometimes that is how we reminisce about the good old days and compare them to current times. When we think that way, we can paralyze ourselves into thinking that we cannot effectively do business in this new economy. That thinking is wrong. Doing business on the web is no different than doing business back in the day. It's just using different tools to do the exact same things. But why should you be a part of e-commerce? One of the most popular and fastest growing e-commerce sites is Etsy. The growth of Etsy is a great example of the current trend to purchase in our economy. Etsy was founded in 2005 as a way for crafters to sell their handmade goods and products. By 2008, they had 50 employees, 650,000 members and potential customers, and 120,000 sellers. In 2010, they had 5 million members. Fast forward to 2014, and they had 54 million members and potential customers, 1.2 million sellers, and several billion dollars in sales. Now, in anybody's world, that's huge growth. E-commerce is not a fad. It is here to stay, and it's going to continue to grow exponentially with or without you. In other words, your customers are moving to e-commerce, so you should be there to welcome them and continue to sell to them along with all the rest of the potential customers waiting there. Now, why are customers increasingly going to the web for their purchases? A recent survey of online purchases conducted by the National Retail Federation ranked the reasons that people purchased online instead of locally. 25.4% said there was a larger selection. 25% said there was better pricing. 24.7% said there was more convenient. 7.2% said there was a time savings. 3.6% said it was easy to compare. And 3.3% said there were no sales tax. Now, if you were starting out back in the day, we can all agree that when you started your business, it wasn't as easy as opening the doors of your shop and taking wads of cash from the long line of customers waiting in line. You had a process, and if you were successful, you probably worked really hard at it. First, you probably developed a business plan. A big portion of a business plan is defining a market analysis. In the market analysis, you identified a line of products for which there was a demand, and you identified a target market that requested and maybe demanded those products. Next, you determined pricing for your products and your profit margin to make sure that your business could be profitable. After all, if you aren't profitable, you won't stick around long, whether it's brick and mortar or on the web. You had to identify your competitors, who they were, what part of the market they held, and their weaknesses and strengths. You probably secretly shopped those competitors so that you could get a real feel for what they were doing. And if you were smart, you learned from what they did well, and maybe even more importantly, you learned from what they didn't do well. You also defined a marketing plan, how you could reach out to potential customers and let them know you existed and show them you had products that fulfilled their needs. Once you researched and defined all of that, it was time to actually set up your brick-and-mortar store. You developed a pleasing layout that showed off your products in the best possible way, and you created great-looking product samples to show your potential customers. Once you opened the doors, you created an atmosphere of great customer service, which in turn drove word-of-mouth sales to new customers and also kept the customers returning again and again through the years. But when you start out on the web, this is the great part. To open an e-commerce store on a site such as Etsy, the process is really not different than when you would have started a brick-and-mortar store. With Etsy, for instance, they have a lot of tools and resources to help you not only set up your store, but to also market and get the word out to potential customers about the wonderful products that you have available. Just like with your brick-and-mortar store, the amount of effort you put into marketing will determine your success with your e-commerce site. A couple slight differences with e-commerce are that you need keywords to help your customers find you. Keywords are the words and phrases that internet users type into search to a search box or search engine such as Google or Etsy to find what website or stores match what they are looking for. To find good keywords, put yourself into the minds of your customer and brainstorm keywords they might use to find your product. Remember, customers may be coming into the search without information or experience that you, as the creator of the product, might have. So steer clear of industry terms that may not be familiar to your customers because they would never know to search those terms. A second difference is that instead of your customer coming into the brick-and-mortar store to gaze upon your wares and being able to pick up and touch the products, they will rely solely upon the pictures and the descriptions that you post to fill all that in. So be creative and take the time to do it well. You should have a good selection of products at multiple price points for your customers to select from. And, of course, don't dismiss e-commerce, but take a test drive. There's a big whole worldwide web out there full of potential customers all over the country and, for that matter, the world. So don't dismiss that potential because you are scared. Take a test drive on Etsy today and take a look at all the tools that they have to keep you to be successful. You're listening to Taking Care of Business. I'm Jim Gano. As we get together every week at this time, just about time to wrap it up here. But before we do, a quick look at sports. In the NCAA men's basketball top 10, it looks like this. Kansas is the new number one this week, followed by Villanova, UCLA, Gonzaga, and North Carolina, Oregon, Arizona, Louisville, Kentucky, and the good old Mountaineers of West Virginia round out the top 10. In NASCAR news, Kurt Busch, the driver of the number 41 car for Stewart Haas Racing, won the Daytona 500 last weekend. This week, the team travels to Atlanta on Sunday for the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 at 2:45 p.m. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I'm Jim Gano. And I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. What else? The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4255.
HMC, or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
718-7077, or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Okay, now